thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right, so we're continuing with our Year in the Psalms series. Today, we're looking at Psalm 84. Psalm 84. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 84. And if you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. For the director of music, according to Gittith of the sons of Korah, a psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Thank you, Father, for these great words in today's psalm, O God. As we draw our attention to your holy word today, Holy Spirit, we ask that you open up our eyes and our hearts and our ears. Help us to see you, Jesus, in your word. Holy Spirit, would you transform us today? Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, please be seated. Well, after being away for 2 weeks and traveling all over the place via planes, trains, automobiles, and ferries, I think Dorothy was right when she said, there is no place like home. We've stayed at some nice hotels. We've stayed at some not so nice hotels. And whether it's nice or not so nice, whether they have hot water or no hot water, whether they have air conditioning or just a heater, where they have windows you can't open, or they have demonstrations at midnight right outside the hotel, you just can't find comfort. But when you come home, that bed, even though our bed's not perfect, my wife and I have been talking about replacing the mattress for the last 10 years, and we haven't gotten to it yet. But when you come home, home just feels just right, right? Home just feels just right. Yeah. I mean, as I said, we traveled via planes, trains, automobiles, and ferries. So it was a good time. It was a good time. But this was a reminder, and as we look at today's text, it's a reminder that our life here on earth is a journey. We are not home. Our home is somewhere else. And so when you're not home, just your bed, the kitchen, the water temperature, whatever it is, it's not going to feel right. And I see many of us trying so hard to find perfection here on earth. Whereas the Bible teaches us that it's not going to happen here. It's not. You want comfort, it's not here, but it's coming. And today's text is a reminder that we shouldn't give our 100% to make perfection here, because we can't. We will fail at it every time. But we do have a home. And so how do we live? How do we live here on earth until we get home? Well, we need to search for God. And today's psalm is a classic psalm. Psalm 84 just talks about that. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said about this psalm. He said, if the 23rd be the most popular, and the 103rd the most joyful, the 119th the most deeply experiential, the 51st the most plaintive, then this psalm is one of the most sweet of the psalms of peace. It's the most sweet of the psalms of peace. So have I piqued your interest in Psalm 84 today? Let's read it together. Of course, we always begin with the subtitle. It starts with, for the director of music. It's fitting that we have the choir here, right? The psalm was written for the director of music. So this was meant to be sung like today, how we had the choir here. According to Gittes, that's a musical term. No one really knows what it is, but it's there in Scripture. Of the sons of Korah, and that's an interesting title, of the sons of Korah, because the sons of Korah were descendants of Korah, and Korah was what? He was the one who rebelled against Moses. If you look at Numbers 16, we read about what happens there, because he desired the power and the position, but because of his rebellion, the earth swallows him up, right? If you don't know much about that, read Numbers 16. But then later on in Numbers 26, it says here that the sons of Korah did not die. So even though Korah was swallowed up by the earth, God shows grace and mercy. And so the sons of Korah did not die. They're tribe of Levite. They're part of the Levites. And so it's their psalm, right, of the sons of Korah, and it's a psalm. And it starts by saying, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. He starts by declaring that God's dwelling place, God's home, is lovely. So there's a lot of language of love in this poetry. It's about love. And it begins with not a duty, but it's a desire, this longing to be in God's presence. Why? Because it is at his dwelling place we meet the living God. He says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. He's longing. He's longing to be in God's presence. He's longing to be in God's home. When you're on a long journey, when I was on a long journey, I was longing to just sleep in my bed and take a hot shower in my imperfect home. But I was longing to be at home. And we have this inner desire within us to be with God. If you read through the Old Testament or the whole Bible, God promises what? Always to his people, I will be with you. Even today's song that the choir sang for us, right? Emmanuel, we yearn for him. Our soul desires to be with him. And so we're made to have this yearning to be with God. But some of us don't know God, and so we try to fill that emptiness with worldly stuff, but we can never fill that desire, because that desire can only be filled by God. So if you don't know God, I want to encourage you. If you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you today to seek after him. If you have this hole in your heart that you try to fill up, and every time you fill up, it doesn't last long, and it just empties out, we need to fill that heart with God. We need to fill that heart with Jesus. So many times when you come to church, you hear about how God is love. And that is true, but today I also want to say that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus fills the emptiness in your heart. So if you have this emptiness in your heart, go to the one who can fill it fully. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says here, his soul yearns for him, even faints for him. And the heart and the flesh cry out for the living God. So the true object of this longing is not a place, but it is the living God. Let's not mistake that. The reason why he wants to be in God's dwelling place is not because it's not about the house, but it's about who's in the house. Sometimes I even fail that as a pastor. Sometimes my focus gets off and I start focusing on the church and the building and what can we do here? 18 years of ordained ministry, as Perry said, 18 years, and I've made lots of mistakes. And the times when I made mistakes are when I was trying to replace God with something else. Maybe if we have better musicians, maybe if I work on my sermons, you know, we need to get the latest and greatest programs into the church. Let's paint the church. Let's do all these great things. But if we do all these great things here, but we miss the main point, which is to be with the living God, then that's an utter failure. So let's focus on the living God. Amen. Our God is a living God. He is alive. He is active. He is here. He is with us. That's our living God. He continues. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. There's a lot there. What's this business with sparrow and swallow? One commentator said, he's been at the God's house so long, he's noticing that sparrows are in the house. He knows that there are swallows with a nest in the house. Do you know your house? Do you know God's house? Our house is so small here. It doesn't take too much to find all the imperfections. Amen? Right? How many times have we heard somebody bang their head downstairs every Sunday? Sometimes it's too hot in here, you know. Sometimes it's too cold. Sometimes it's too loud. Right? So we know this. But it's not about that, but it's about being in God's house. James Montgomery Boyce said this about the sparrow and the swallow. Let me just get this right. He said, the sparrow represents the example of small significance, just little significance. That's what sparrow represents. And the swallow represents restlessness. Right? So his whole point is, James Montgomery says this, Boyce says this about this verse, is that even the least significant person has a place in God's house. You are welcome here. And even the restless, you have a home. And that's God's house. So are you feeling restless today? Come to Him. Do you feel insignificant today? Come to Him. Because, to be honest, we are all insignificant in God's eyes. It's about the significant one that we serve, and that is Jesus Christ. And then here's the first of three blessedness that the psalm talks about. It talks about, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. It's about being in God's house to worship Him. It's about what we're doing here today. We're not here just to sing, shake hands. It's to praise our living God. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe that today we touch God's heart with our singing and our praise and our worship. My prayer every Sunday is that, God, would you open up the gates of heaven and would you receive our praise? Would you receive our worship? Help us to touch your heart as you touch ours. And that's the point. And if you dwell in the house and then you're blessed, you're blessed. So I pray that we're all blessed by being here. Amen? And then the next set of verses talks about the journey. I talked about earlier that life is a journey, and life is about a journey towards God's presence. So let's look at the next three verses. Here's the second blessed. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. What does that mean? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, God. Our strength needs to come from God. And our hearts are set on the pilgrimage. It's about the destination. So many times when life is hard, we want to give up. So many times when it's not working out here. This is not working out. Let me go to another church. And in my 18 years of ministry, I've spoken to a lot of people. And a lot of times they're like, oh, it's not you, it's me. And I want to say, yes, that's true. But no matter where you go, you're going to feel the same way. Because you're filling your heart with everything but God. You know, you think maybe the church family is it. It's not. It's really God. And when God fills your heart, then you can serve God's community. Even people when they say, "Oh, I'm not ready to serve yet." Even that, you're never going to be ready to serve. If you serve with your own strength, you'll never have that strength. But blessed are those whose strength is in you. Blessed are those whose strength is in God. It's God's strength. It is He who needs to strengthen us to do His mission. Amen? Amen? So if you're feeling weak today, go to God. And may He give you the strength. Scripture says that the joy of the Lord should be our strength. His joy will strengthen us. When our heart is set on the pilgrimage, it's a journey. And then in verse 6, it says, as they pass through the Valley of Baca, no one knows where the Valley of Baca is. But Baca means tears. So it could say, as you pass through the Valley of Tears, as you pass through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, it also represents dryness. As you pass through the valley of dryness, the desert heat in the wilderness, in the summer, there's no hint of water anywhere. When you're walking through that valley, even when you're walking through that, it says, they make it a place of springs. Huh, isn't that interesting? They make it a place of springs. Not God. God is not making it a place of springs, but they are making it a place of springs. So even when you're journeying through hard times, how do you make the place a place of springs? Where do you draw this water from? Derek Kidner said this about that. He said, this is a classic statement of faith which dares to dig blessings out of hardship. Dare to dig blessings out of hardship. God never promises that our hardship will go away. But He promises what? That we'll have springs if we remain faithful in Him. I know some of you are going through a difficult time right now. Whether it's at work, family life, health issues, financial difficulties, relationship issues, whatever that may be, when you're passing through the Valley of Baca, make it a place of springs. How do you do that? By trusting in God, by not compromising from His truth, by leaning in on your community, the church. Right? Notice it's not singular, it's they. They pass through, they make it a place of springs. And that's our call as a church, Goodwill Beacon. We make it a place of springs, amen? Amen. It says here, the autumn rains also cover it with pools. So in that midst, the autumn rains come. And then they go from strength to strength. I love that phrase. Strength to strength. Strength keeps on coming. When you're journeying, when you're hiking, when you're climbing, it gets harder as you go up to the top. But even if it gets harder, they go from strength to strength. God sustains us with His strength, from strength to strength, so we can endure the race that is set before us. Till each appears before God in Zion. Till we appear before our Maker, our holy God. And then the next two verses is a prayer. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. How many times have we shouted out to God? Have we pleaded with Him to hear my prayer? When I hear that phrase, hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, listen to me, God of Jacob, there's persistence in the prayer. It's not a one and done prayer. God desires to have a relationship with us. How do we have a relationship with Him? By talking to Him. We have to keep talking to Him. And as we keep talking to Him, and as we boldly ask God to hear our prayers, a lot of times in my life, what I see is my heart changing. Knowing that it's okay if things don't work out my way. If you truly trust in God, then it's okay. Your worst day here on earth will still be okay. Knowing that He hears, and He is God Almighty, and He is sovereign. He continues to say, look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. So the shield represents protection. So in this psalm, it really is talking about a king. Look on our shield, look on our king. So it could be David. It could be Solomon. But of course, David and Solomon points to the greater David, the greater Solomon, who is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So this verse, this prayer, we could still pray this prayer today. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And then it ends with the blessing of living with God. That's really what the next set of verses represents. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. We have songs about this. We're going to sing a song about this after the sermon. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. What does that mean? Do we really mean it when we say it? Would you rather be here than anyone else? Anywhere else? Yes, yes. Better is one day here than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'll take the lowliest position. I'd rather be in the lowliest position here, because what matters is that I'm in his courts. I am here in his presence. I don't have to be the president. I don't have to have all the fancy titles here. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. One pastor said, it's a janitor's psalm. I would rather be a janitor in the church. And I see that. I see that in you. I see the blessings that you guys give back to the church. One day I was here, late at night, somebody walks in to clean the church. Late at night. They're not here to be recognized. They're here because they would rather be a janitor in God's house. They would rather clean the house. Cleans God's church. And it's not just one person. I know there's several of you who are doing this. God sees you. And I know it's because you feel the same way here in verse 10. You would rather be here. For the Lord is a sun and shield. He protects. He gives warmth. Light represents life. So the Lord God is, he gives us life and he protects us. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Some translation says, the Lord bestows grace and glory. And no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Those whose walk is blameless. Who are they? Anyone here walking a blameless walk? If that's you, then you and I need to talk. But there is one, Jesus Christ. So for those of us who place our trust in Jesus, that's how we receive the good things. It's through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life, the blameless life, that you and I can never live. He lived that life. And he died the death that you and I deserve. That death, he received God's wrath so that we don't have to receive God's wrath. He took our sin and he placed our righteousness upon those who believe so that we can claim this verse. Yeah, we're not walking blameless, but Jesus walked blamelessly. And his righteousness is upon us. And that's the good news. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what we've done or what we're doing or what we're going to do. But it is about what Jesus Christ has done. When he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And so all you and I need to do is believe in the Savior. Jesus saves. Amen? Amen? Jesus saves. We need to go to the Savior. These verses, being a janitor, reminds me of what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians when he writes in 3:8, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surprising worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." What's keeping you up at night? Is it worldly things? Consider that all garbage. Why are you working so hard? Is it so that you could have comfort here on earth? Release them to the Lord. We're only here temporarily. We're not here forever. This is not our permanent residence. Keep your suitcase packed. It's easier said than done. but don't make earth your permanent home. Blessed are those who dwell in his house. Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Moses could not see this glory. Moses wanted to see God's glory. He said, "Show me your glory, God." And God said, "You'll die if you see my face." But his glory is shown through Jesus Christ. And he's dwelt among us. He's tabernacled among us. So when we're dwelling in God's house, this is what Scripture is talking about. It's Jesus Christ. In Revelation, it says here, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Hallelujah. 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 And then it ends with, "Lord Almighty, the third blessedness, blessed is the one who trusts in you." It's a fitting way to end the psalm. It begins with trust and it ends with trust. Trust in Jesus. Place everything in his name. Don't trust the world. Money can't buy you happiness. Money can't save you. Only Jesus can. So how should we live? How can we apply Psalm 84 in our lives? Well, first, it's longing. We need to have this longing relationship. We need to ask God today to renew your hunger for his presence. Are you hungry for his presence? Is his presence enough for you? Because our God, he promised that he will be with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Is his presence enough? How do we cultivate this longing? Well, it starts with reading the Word. Not getting an amen. It starts with reading the Word. Amen. Amen. Read the Word. Read the Word. You can read the Word by yourself, but you can read it in community. I'm hearing more testimonies about how God's people here within our church are getting together and they're reading God's Word together. And that brings life change as the Holy Spirit works during that time. So read God's Word. We need to pray more. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, pray. You don't have to come to a prayer service. Scripture actually teaches us that we need to be praying all the time. And prayer doesn't mean just giving a laundry list to God. We could pray while we read God's Word. Listening is a big part of prayer. And that's a discipline that we lack. Listening. Let's listen. Let's pray. And of course, worship. I truly believe that when we worship God, when we worship in spirit and truth, that we will know in the depth of our souls that he is here with us. He inhabits the praise of his people. He is here when we worship him. We need to continue to walk. Walk means live. Walk through the valley. No matter how dry it is, no matter how tearful it is, continue to walk and look for places of refreshment. Look for the water. Dig for that well in the place of dryness. and let's serve gladly. Service is not a duty. Oh, I have to go to church. I have to do this. I have to do that. That's not the attitude we should have, right? I would rather be here than 1,000 elsewhere. That means I'd rather be here. I'll do it gladly. When we have this attitude, the temptation would mean nothing. I remember I was at a church. We were renting from a church when I was in New Jersey. And the congregation from the church that we're renting from said, oh, next Sunday I'm not being here. Why? Because the Cowboys are coming to town. Right, so football over God. Okay. This is, yay. Sorry if you have anyone going to a football game next week. Or their children's sporting events. That was a big deal down when I was in New Jersey. The parents would tell me, here's the list of Sundays I can't be here because they got soccer games and this and that. Or I have to run off right after church or right before or in the middle of service if I run out. It's because actually the worship leader did that to me a few times. He said, I can't do the last song because I got to go take my son to a football game. It's like, really? So, but I left the guitar for you. Yeah. So, it broke my heart because it showed the condition. You know, I'm not saying you have to be here all the time. Please don't misunderstand me. It's not about works, but it's about heart attitude. And there are going to be circumstances where you can't be here. You know, I wasn't here the last two Sundays, right? So. But what is your attitude? Would you rather be here? You know, I've spoken to some people who are thinking about moving out of the area, but they're deciding to stay here a little longer because they'd rather be here in God's presence, and praise God for that. You know. But do you serve gladly? Do you serve with a joyful heart? Or is it work? I pray that it's not. And if it is, ask God to change your heart. And lastly, seek communion. Don't settle for comfort, but seek His presence. Seek communion with God. Seek communion with Jesus. Whether you do that individually, whether you do that as a community, as a family. And as we seek communion, let us come to the table. The reason you and I can come to His house and ask God to show us His glory and we could experience His glory in a powerful way is because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus made a way when there was no way. He provided a way for us to be in God's presence. Not just here, not just today, but forever. It is through Him and what He's done on the cross that we have eternal life. And so as He has commanded us, for those of us who believe in Jesus, let us come to the table and partake in the bread and the cup. Let me pray for the elements, and then I'm going to ask the men to come forward. Let's wait till we've all received the bread, and we'll partake together. And then again, they'll come back and distribute the juice in place of wine. Let's wait till everyone's received it, and we'll partake together. And it may seem like it could take a very long time. Let's enjoy this moment, this special moment this time during our worship service where as a family we share a meal together. So let's not be in a rush as we partake in communion. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you that through your love, your sacrifice, and your death on the cross, that we have eternal life, that we could be in your presence. So we come to the table today with a big thank you in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for sending us your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming here on earth, living the life we couldn't live, dying the death that we deserve, so that through you, we can receive your righteousness and eternal life. Lord, I ask that you set apart the bread and the cup for a holy purpose today. Make it holy. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.